My mom called me crying a moment ago.
Oh dear.
Yeah, she was like, it was her and my grandma, and they were both crying because the queen is dead. And I like was like, I don't really care. Like, this is dumb, and like, I'm an anti-royalist. And my mom basically called me an SJW and told me to shut the fuck up.
Oh dear.
She's like, I don't want to hear any of your fucking bullshit. I'm mourning. So I was like, fine, mom, mourn all you want, but I'm like trying to get on with my life and unpack my new flat, so get off the phone.
Yeah, I think we're gonna be in for a long haul with all this stuff.
A lot of solemn BBC radio segments.
Oh my god. The documentaries, like, yep, all of the things that are, yep, gonna come. Yeah. It's just gonna be so overbearing.
And they're gonna shut London down as well. I doubt we'll be able to use the tube. The Elizabeth line, definitely gonna be shut down.
Why would they shut it down though?
Because she's dead. They have to do it out of respect or whatever the fuck.
No, they'll just like do like a moment of silence on the intercom or some dumb shit like that. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I'm annoyed because like we've just moved. I've just got my life back to like some kind of equilibrium, and now like everything's gonna be fucking shut down.
I hope people just sort of demand that no one else is put on.
What do you mean?
That we're just like, no, let's just, you know,
do away with the monarchy.
We can't afford a monarch at the moment.
No, that's never
the cost of living.
No.
You know, do we want to help Ukraine and fight bad Mr. Putin, or do we want Prince Charles to be king?
I don't
want to
do either of those things.
If we're going to have to choose one, I know which one I'm choosing.
I don't want to choose any of those things. I think we're just in a terrible situation. But yeah, everything's going to be shut down. Big Ben is going to be dong, dong, donging in Westminster for the next fucking month.
It's going to be so long. Yeah. I don't think anyone's prepared for how long everyone's going to make a deal out of this.
And like you were saying a second ago that people like should abolish the monarchy. No, like there's too many royalists, not even in this country, but like in the world in general. Like people are super cucked, really cucked. And especially in this country, like, it's like a mommy issue thing, I think, like, because we've had quite a few female monarchs and a few female prime ministers, including our new one, who we're going to talk about a bit later. There's this like thank you mom thing within the halls of power that's just so Oedipal and disgusting.
Get a grip. Any adult.
People are crying like their mom is dead. They see
I know.
Her as, like,
any adult that's doing that. Making all that nonsense.
They want to suck the milk out of her old titties. Like, that's,
Jesus.
That's like, that's like, is that a terrible image to put in your head?
I've already seen the queen get her tits chopped off.
At that like heavy metal concert.
Yeah,
it
was
to?
Like Sunday on, I think it was 2012 download. And I was a proper hanging. Got a beer straight away to cure the hangover, and like went to the first stage, and this band called Gwar were playing that I'd never heard of before, and they're all dressed up like fucking goblins from Warhammer or something like that, like in crazy, like grotesque, like Winona's Big Brown Beaver, you know, that Primus, like that kind of very elaborate, accurate plastic costumes and stuff. And they brought out the queen and then got a sword and chopped her tits off, and she bled into the crowd. And then as she was bleeding into the crowd, and I was like, and yeah! He's like, oh yeah, you like that? And then he gets this like massive fucking like goat-headed cock like out and fucking like jacks it off into the crowd as well. It's the most like weird.
Did you
weird...
get any of the blood or juice?
No, I was
on
too
you?
Far back. So I was, as I said, I was hanging and nursing my first beer of the day, so I was like
you
not
in
getting
the splash
in
the. Zone.
I wasn't in the splash zone. I wasn't getting in the rough.
Speaking of the queen's titties and mommy issues, this is a very Oedipal country. Like, we love like a mommy in power. Like it's like our thing, including like the men are all like, oh yes, mom, thank you. Even in like the James Bond movies, he's like fucking,
yeah, that's true, actually.
Fuck. Not only to the head of MI5, who's Helen Mirren, who's like this like female girl boss, but he's also like, oh, for queen and country and all of this shit. Like,
well, that's because James Bond has, I think, only existed in a country that's had a queen. I don't think they were writing James Bond when
but the fact that they made the head of MI5 a woman who's like this severe matron.
Yeah, that is also
it's
true.
It's a motif in British culture where Oedipal, we love the devouring mother. Like
Mary
that's,
Poppins.
Yeah.
That's, she's not really devouring.
No,
she's sweet.
Kind of sweet. But, you know, other kind of severe matronly figures like Thatcher and, you know, others, Theresa May, fucking Liz Truss. That's like our thing.
Well, if you think about it, I think it's because some of our most impactful leaders in modern history mm-hmm. were both queens. Like
Queen Elizabeth
like started the British Empire.
Yeah.
Queen Victoria like saw Britain kind of like
decline.
You know, through,
it's just been a general stage of decline.
Well, no,
since
through
her.
Like the Industrial Revolution and all of that kind
no,
of stuff, right?
Didn't the Industrial Revolution happened far before?
Oh, I'm getting it messed up.
yeah, okay.
But Queen Victoria is like a big deal, though.
Oh, sorry, Victoria. Sorry,
yeah.
I thought you said Elizabeth. Yes,
no,
Queen Victoria.
Yeah, Queen Elizabeth
you know,
was
right.
at the start
you're
of the
right.
Empire.
Sorry, I was wrong.
Queen
was
Victoria
wrong.
Was like during the Industrial Revolution,
I
right?
I forgot about Vicky.
Yeah,
that
so
was
like,
another severe matron.
But yeah, both of them were at very important times for the country,
but
so maybe it's just
Elizabeth,
been a...
She's been during a period of ultra decline, and even though she kind of became queen when Britain was at the head of its, like, opulence, she saw the empire disintegrate. Under her, all of the countries that were under Britain, most of them that were under Britain's thumb became independent, and she had to sort of manage that situation and do the PR for that. Britain's power in the world being sold out through like Blairite neoliberalism, the country's national heritage and cultural roots being destroyed by neoliberalism. Like people are acting as if her death represents some kind of identity crisis for this country, but like the identity crisis has long before this fucking lady decided to kick the bucket. Like
it's been happening for the last probably 20 years.
Yeah.
So
more than that, probably. Like more than that. And not just in terms of like the empire and all that shit, but
I'd
just
say
in
the
term- 90s,
you still had like, you know, a lot of like import, like big cultural
yeah, but
things
it was all fake.
Around
like, all
Britain.
That Rule Britannia blur.
Well, no, even like, you know,
Brit
movies
pop.
And Trainspotting
nah,
and like, stuff
that
like
was
that. Like,
that was like the Blairite effort to, because didn't you see that video of like Blair and Damon Albarn during the whole Britpop era and how, because Tony Blair, he was trying to be the cool prime minister, he played guitar. And he was trying to do like a second British wave of culture and sort of like egged on Britpop and all of those different things. But it was so fucking manufactured compared to the previous era in the 60s where Britain was like a cultural hub. But ever since that era, there's been a massive like cultural decline in this country in every way. And like obviously neoliberalism has something to do with it. The fact that this country is a haven for like foreign investments and shit. The fact that like our communities are eroded, young people can't afford to get on the property ladder and become socially embedded. Everything's for the highest bid. I mean, a couple of episodes ago, we were talking about how Oxford Street is now full of these like American candy shops that are owned by Saudi billionaires.
I've only just started trying to do something about some of them now, but I still don't think they're still there.
Everywhere so. Looks like a TikTok box park. We just moved to Camden. Even that has lost all of its charm and has become this, like, boring fucking, like, box park.
Nah.
Yeah.
There's a bit of it. There is a box park.
There's a
I'm
box
not gonna
park,
say,
yeah.
I'm not going to say that there isn't
there
a,
is a box park.
A box market,
but I'm talking
say.
About, like, the, even a couple of weeks ago, Notting Hill Carnival happened. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's, like, the biggest street carnival in Europe, and it's, like, a big celebration of the Afro-Caribbean community. In London, in Notting Hill, Ladbroke Grove, which are some of the first places that like Caribbean and African immigrants lived when they first came to Britain. But now it's also the site of Grenfell Tower, ironically, as well. And now, obviously, no one who originally came from that area can afford to live there anymore. So the Afro-Caribbean communities there have been completely displaced because, you know, the fucking gentrification, all of those things have pushed those people out. And Notting Hill Carnival happened a couple of weeks ago and there were stabbings, shootings. The whole thing was a fucking mess.
Well,
and like, the reason why is because nobody who was originally like responsible for the carnival can afford to fucking live there. Back in the day, the people who organized it lived in Ladbroke Grove, lived in Notting Hill. It was their neighborhood, so they had more of a stake for keeping it safe and making sure nothing bad happened. But now you have people coming from all over the place, from Manchester, from Birmingham, from even other parts of Europe for Notting Hill Carnival. And of course they're going to mess the place up and act a fool because they don't have any stake in the community anymore.
Well, it's not those people. So it's become so big and popular now because it's, you know, I don't even really know why, to be honest, because I have never had a good time at carnival.
I hate carnival so much.
It's so hectic, it's so busy, it's so many, and it's
too
like,
many
it's not,
fucking bodies
it's
everywhere.
Not designed to be that big. It was designed to be,
a
street carnival,
yeah.
Not like, oh, so many hundreds of
not
thousands
like
of people that go there.
Basically.
Yeah, exactly. It's insane. So, like, no, like, I don't enjoy carnival, but, like, I appreciate, like, why it's around and what, and it's, like, beginnings and everything.
Yeah.
But a lot of the violence that happens is essentially, like, London
gangs yeah.
making advantage of massive
yeah, but most
of
them
of
aren't from Ladbroke Grove and Notting Hill.
No, but they're from surrounding areas
yeah,
of London.
Yeah, but
they're
not from
you know.
That part, so they don't have a stake in that side of the community.
But it's not just, like, you know, people that travel from, like, you
no,
know,
I'm not saying it's people
around.
From around anywhere that isn't that specific location
yeah.
is what I'm
but
saying.
It's more directly related to gangs is my point. It's
yeah,
not just like...
But it would be harder if there was an actual big, thriving community in Ladbroke Grove who could say, no, this is our place and this isn't going to happen there, which used to happen in the past. Mm. There used to be people, uncles, aunties, people who were like responsible for keeping things good because they lived there. Now no one can fucking afford to. In fact, one of the last strongholds of working class housing, Grenfell Tower, got fucking burned to the ground because of the council's negligence.
Yeah.
And people died. Like, British identity, the NHS is being carved up. That's a part of British identity. I remember at the Olympics here, how they were worshipping the NHS, and the Queen was even like, oh, National Health Service is a jewel in my crown, or some fucking bullshit. The NHS is being carved up left, right, and center. Everything is for the highest fucking bidder. There's no such thing as British identity or cohesiveness anymore. And like the forces of neoliberalism are responsible for that. And the fact that our elites have sold this country off to the highest bidder at the expense of the people who live there. Even looking for flats in London, mate. I'm a Londoner, born and fucking bred. Even trying to stay in my own city has been a fucking ordeal. There's fucking Saudi billionaires who have fucking empty flats, flats that nobody is fucking living in, Russian oligarchs, foreign investors. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? And just because some fucking lady is dead, I'm supposed to be crying about her British identity? The identity crisis started fucking ages ago, mate.
It started when they stopped giving a shit about the better good for the people here and what could fill them and their mates' pockets
yeah.
in whichever fashion sees necessary or fashionable at the
yeah.
time. It's pretty disgusting what's happened in especially like the recent years since Boris Johnson got elected and everything, but you did vote for Boris Johnson.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of...
Even before that, like, fucking...
Yeah,
you David
voted for
Cameron,
fucking... Well,
fucking
that,
Theresa May.
Yeah, Theresa May, man. Like you've even voted for Theresa May over
Labour.
Jeremy Corbyn. Like, that's fucking crazy, bro.
Like, British identity is already, like, down the fucking toilet. Like, last episode, I was talking about how ghetto this country has become, how they're fucking dumping the fucking shit into the coasts. They're dumping raw sewage onto the coasts. They're trying to raise tuition fees to £24,000 a year for students.
But, okay, so like not to go on a seemingly unrelated tangent, but this is where like why I resonated so much with watching that Woodstock documentary with you.
Woodstock 99.
Yeah, because like it was that interesting sort of exploration of. Has culture just completely shifted to the point where those ideals are fanciful and, like, that will never be reality again because we've just moved past that kind of culture and time? Or is it actually, like, largely the material conditions of the environment around that leads people to go, you don't give a fuck about this. You don't give a fuck about me. Why should I give a fuck about anything or anyone else? So I'm going to do what the fuck I want and go crazy and burn the shit down.
Well, to give context, it kind of explores like Woodstock 99, which was like a complete shit show that devolved into like a violence, basically, and chaos. For those of you who haven't seen the documentary, and
that's why we're seeing more shootings and like gang violence and all of these things going up and up and up.
Basically, in the documentary, the organizers of Woodstock 99 didn't give enough resources into basic infrastructure.
They sold it off to the highest bidder.
Yeah,
it's literally the same thing. Like they sold off all the food contracts to like subcontract people for so they could charge their own money. Mm-hmm. Obviously, charged everyone up the fucking wazoo, mm-hmm. which is the opposite of the free kitchens that were provided at the original Woodstock.
Yeah,
like you know everything
they
was
did this
fucking
shark-like business ethos, and
they subcontracted the fucking toilet so no one had like clean places to fucking. Do anything like shower, let alone take a shit or anything.
Yeah.
So people are pent up, can't afford the food, had all of their food and water taken from them on the entrance.
Yep.
Be shown that you couldn't be trusted and blah blah blah. Everything else that kind of thing shows someone. Yep. Like,
of course it devolved into chaos.
It just shows that we don't respect you, we don't appreciate you, we're here to extract as much money from you as possible.
Exactly.
And that is what living in this country has become.
Yeah, basically.
And so it's only going to be kind of a matter of time before
social unrest.
The measures that they're trying to take aren't really enough, and the pressure keeps mounting, and more things happen, and then something will go and be a catalytic thing for a big fucking. You can feel it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, and even bringing the Notting Hill Carnival up as another example, the reason why you see antisocial behavior being more prevalent now is because no one has a stake in the community. Like, if you're able to afford to live in Notting Hill and Ladbroke Grove, you're not going to let someone come to your hood and fuck around. You know, most of the people who are even organizing the event can't afford to fucking live there anymore.
Yeah.
So it's just become this place where people congregate. And of course, nobody has a stake there. So why the fuck wouldn't they destroy everything?
Well, that's not even just London, though. It's like everywhere.
Yeah, it's
like,
everywhere.
Even
of course.
Like, you know, I grew up around like Tame and Haddenham in Oxford and Buckinghamshire.
Yeah.
I could never afford a house there.
No.
Because it's like
it's a commuter city now.
Yeah.
People who don't want to live in London anymore buy houses there. Or people who own houses in London sell their houses, get all the money, and then fucking skyrocket up the property market in like the surrounding areas of London. So even trying to live in Buckinghamshire now is not possible. It's fucking tough.
It's tough. You gotta find a deal.
Yeah,
you
gotta
find a good thing.
But that's what they don't. What do they want us to do? They don't. Like you said, they don't want us to feel like we belong anywhere. And especially the young people. Young people can't get on the fucking property ladder. And that's part of what forms community, builds social bonds, gives people a stable sense of identity in their place that they live, and pride as well. And like, yeah, this is all the shit that conservatives go on about all the time, but like, they'll never criticize neoliberalism. They'll never say, even though it's the thing that's responsible for like eroding all the things that they claim to hold dear, they'll never criticize it. They'll just crow on about the queen and like fucking other bullshit.
Tax cuts. It's just so
annoying.
What's so frustrating about the situation is like, but you would think that, and it's frustrating that you don't hear really much from Labour either at this point in time, but it's not really
cucked.
To be expected at this
they're
point in time.
They're fucking cucked. But they've always been cucked.
But still, it's
except
sort of
for
like,
in the past when they actually did things, I mean,
you don't hear anyone going, oh, this is massive, this is like unprecedented, you know, we need to figure this out, this is going to be worse than the 2008 crash, this is going to be the biggest thing of like the 21st century so far. Financially, for everybody in this country, let's come up with a really bold solution to fix the problem, or show that we're like at least thinking about like drastic measures and like things that can really make a difference to affect everyone. No, the first thing everyone is like going on about for the first 3 months of this stupid leadership campaign was who's going to cut the right amount of taxes and where.
Yep.
It's just like that. Isn't that literally like how to be a Tory number one. Talk about how you want low fucking taxes, because all of your rich mates want low fucking taxes. And that is going to help you stay in power.
It's fucking so bullshit. Not just that, like, also the fucking cost of living crisis intensifying. Like I just said, they want to raise student tuition fees to 24,000. When we went to uni, it was 9,000 before, and there were riots because it was 3,000 before that. And I know the Americans out there are like, oh, that's nothing. Well, I didn't think we lived in a country as barbaric as yours, so be quiet. It was 3,000, and then before that, it was free. So when it was free and they raised it to 3,000, there was unrest, but people were like, all right, whatever, we'll pay a little bit. Then they raised it to 9,000, and I remember there were huge fucking student riots when they fucking raised it to 9,000. And now they're planning on raising to 24,000, which would effectively discount a lot of British students. And a lot of universities are already saying that they want to start taking on more foreign students because foreign students have to pay more. And in order to make up for their money, they want to start bringing in more foreign students. So even our universities have people in them that aren't British. We don't manufacture anything anymore. We don't make anything anymore. What the fuck are we? We're an island, a tax haven for rich people, basically.
Well, we need more fruit pickers and, you know, construction workers and those kinds of people. So I don't know if they're trying to even up the playing fields and or work fields, as it were, and, like, you know,
what, proletarianize the middle class or whatever.
Well, I think, like, those are jobs that are really needed and valuable, and I think this neoliberal idea that you can rely on cheap immigrant labor from not even from that far away is really disgusting. And so maybe those jobs should be filled by British people that, like, would get paid a good wage and be treated fairly.
I agree, but, like, that ethos was dismantled already by neoliberalism from the Thatcher era when manufacturing was destroyed.
Like, the way you fix all, like, this housing stuff is by building the right kind of housing and a lot more of it.
No, they won't.
And you can't. Well, it's not only that you won't.
They don't
it's
want
that
to
you
decrease.
Can't. We don't have the actual capability to meet the requirement at this point.
Yeah.
We don't have enough construction workers to actually build enough houses to meet the demand currently.
No, we don't. Especially after Brexit and everything.
And if it keeps rising in demand through war and people escaping natural disasters and all these kinds of things, all the sorts of different refugees we're going to have to take in, essentially, how are you going to meet the even further demand? It's going to get even worse. It's going to get even crazier.
Well, that they don't want to build
housing. It's like a really serious thing. So, like, if that is, like, actually some crooked Tory scheme to try and do that, and they heavily reward people for going into construction and all that kind of stuff instead of going to university for, like, you know, the next few years, I wouldn't, like, that's like, hey, you've got a bold plan there to fix a really serious fucking problem.
I doubt
that. Let's see what happens.
The reason why, though, is because building more housing would affect the skyrocketing property market that currently exists and decrease the value. The reason why the value of property is so insane right now is because there's a scarcity. Like, we were searching, we've been searching for the last 3 months for a place. We finally found one and we've moved in and I'm happy and we're lucky. And we had Providence on our side. And also we were, like, literally Japanese levels of, like, efficient with it. Like, we had spreadsheets, everything. Like, but even now, there's videos I'm seeing of 40 people queuing outside to see one flat. People who are rich, basically paying all of a year's rent in advance.
That's what I'm saying. It's not only this pressure to get into a flat, then on top of that, you've then got the pressure of paying in that flat and living in there.
Yeah.
Everything is so much.
Yeah.
It's like something
not just
mass.
That, energy prices skyrocketing as well. 4,000 a year.
That's all contributing
to it. Is where it's at right now, is what they're predicting. They're predicting blackouts in the winter. They're sort of subtly encouraging people not to use their electricity from 2 to 8 p.m. and saying that we should eat salad instead of a hot meal. Like, this is some Dickensian shit right here. Like, it's fucking Dickensian. And then on top of that, we're, like, in this weird feudal fucking Game of Thrones world or whatever, where the queen is dead and we're going to have a king soon we're going to have a fucking daddy. I don't know how Britain's going to take that since we're used to mommy milkers.
Especially Charles, the potential princess killer.
Like the Nigerian auntie Diana Stan in me is appalled at the idea of him becoming king and also Camilla becoming queen as well.
Just do away with a lot of them.
Yeah.
And as my granddad was saying, like, there's just too many of them now. Like, William,
too many royals.
William and Kate have, like, three kids. There's going to be kids, or there already is kids from fucking Harry and the other one, isn't
Prince
there?
Prince Andrew and his daughters. What are they you called know, again? Poppy
and whatever.
And
who's putting
the
bill for all of those fucking people doing all those crazy shit?
Yeah.
Like, gallivanting around, doing nothing, spending everyone's fucking money.
Yeah.
We don't have... you know,
this batch of royals isn't even fun or interesting. They don't have as much entertainment value. Like, Kate's fashion is so fucking boring. There's no scandals. There's no affairs. There's nothing. It's so fucking boring. There's no tea to be spilled. And fucking William has, like, literally no personality whatsoever. They're just, like, this perfect, like, robotic couple. Where's the tea? Where's the fucking...
There's no charisma.
African love child, like...
No, there's no charisma.
I need something to fucking... To make it worth it if it's going to be a thing. And, like, the tea is what I'm in it for. But, like... I don't know. I think, yeah, we are. There are too many royalists for the royal families to be done away with. We're going to have a king. His face is going to be all over the money. After the queen is dead and everybody's done doing their solemn BBC fucking monologues, there's then going to be another fucking huge celebration of the coronation of fucking Prince King Charles. Not King Charles the First. I'm sure there's been lots of Charleses before him.
I think he's the third.
I'd have to, like, get my English history book. I actually have one. I have to get my English history book out and look at how many King Charleses. Didn't Oliver Cromwell chop off a King Charles's head?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he must be at least the third.
So Oliver Cromwell did this big-ass revolution, chopped off the fucking king's head, but then he got too extreme and, like, cancelled Christmas. He was like a...
Well, and called himself, like, divine emperor of, you know,
so then they
Britain
just reinstated the monarchy again. But we did chop off the head of our monarch. We had, like, a revolution at one point, but it didn't last very long.
Disappointing.
Yeah.
It is very disappointing.
Where you live, out at your neck of the woods, is where a lot of those battles took place during the English Civil War.
Yeah.
And you can see lots of, like, historical sites and stuff about it.
A lot of anti-royalist sentiment.
Yeah. Your granddad was telling us about it because while we were waiting for our new place to be ready, we were at Jake's grandparents' house, which was a really fun and interesting experience. Like, I cried leaving and so did your grandma because we really bonded and she was really kind to me and, like, treated me like I was her own. And I was, like, slightly apprehensive at first about staying with your grandparents because we spent time with them since we've been together, but, like, usually during Christmas and things like that.
Yeah, just for the day or the afternoon or something like that. Never for, like, an extended period of time.
And this was the first time where I really got to spend quality time with them. And they're such wonderful people. Like, it kind of restored my faith in humanity a little bit. I think I was starting to become kind of bitter and jaded. But just, like, seeing how... their life was, and, like, hearing their stories, hearing what life was like in this country before our time. Like, they grew up in a time where there wasn't stuff like central heating, when there wasn't shit like the National Health Service. You know, we take so much for granted. Your granddad built the house that they're living in with his two hands.
Yeah, that's pretty... I've always heard that story, but then it was kind of really interesting to actually just, like, talk to him about that whole process of basically my dad's early life and then, like, building that house, moving into it with then having my Auntie Amanda.
Yeah, and you also have, like, a long line of socialists on that side of your family as well.
Yeah.
And I don't mean, like, fake DSA socialists. I mean actual, like, workers who organized, especially during the Thatcher era. Your granddad was telling me about all the union busting that was going on during the Thatcher era and how devastating it was for the working class of this country. And to see him as a man, your grandparents are real, like, working class hobbits who worked their way up from, like, fuck all.
Yeah, well, that was it. That was what was so interesting about hearing about the house, because that was essentially that story. It was sort of like, oh, we had this, you know, council house that was this bungalow, which is still there at the bottom of the, you know, drive, which I never even realised they lived in. And that, you know, to them as a small family and everything, young family, had everything they needed, had no complaints. It was actually great for what the, for what it was at the time.
When they
kind
had
of thing.
Your dad.
Yeah, in his young years and everything. But then, you know, managed to, like, acquire the land, like, behind it, and then build the fucking house.
Yeah, your grandfather is a carpenter. A man who works with his hands, which is very rare these days. I fell in love with your granddad a little bit. I hope that you're like him when you're an old man.
But, and you know, I'd heard smaller or shorter versions of a lot of these different things, like, you know, throughout my whole life, I guess.
Yeah.
But I never really, you have a different perspective on stuff when you get older, isn't it?
Massively. And not even just that, like, social housing, your family relied heavily on social housing. If it wasn't for social housing, they wouldn't have been able to get on the property ladder. My mom too, the first house that she got when she first migrated back to the UK was a council house. That was what first got her start in life. And now that that has completely been dismantled, it's like what the fuck do they expect everyone else to do? The world has just changed so much. And during their period was sort of the beginning of the socialist programs in Britain, like the National Health Service, like council, all the stuff that was done in the post-war era to help Britain get back on its feet. But now all of that has just been completely dismantled.
Well, it's that assumption that Britain's on its feet and that it's absolutely great. And if you, you know, pull your socks up, you can be absolutely fine, but that's not the case. Like, you make your own luck, absolutely, but there is still luck.
Yeah.
And, like, not only that, like, there is luck the other way.
Yeah.
You can be as hard, you know, working and everything as you can, but then, you know, your only parent gets terminally ill or something horrible, and everything gets put on hold and your whole life changes, and, like, all sorts of terrible things can put people in situations where they are what some people would deem not where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's crazy that we just don't allow for people to have a fair shot at stuff.
But even then, like, with social housing and things like that, that stuff allowed people to sort of have a chance at getting up on the property ladder, at acquiring upward mobility. All of those, like, post-war programs were vital to the economic stability of this country. And they also helped people. They created communities. They helped people become socially embedded.
It's just necessary.
The reason your grandparents have this house that they've built with their two hands and they're in a village that they've been in, like, for the last 50 years where they know everyone is because of shit like that, you know? Like, that's what cultural identity is. That's what it means to be a community.
You privatize all of the planning and development of how houses should be built to increase land value over being functional for a population.
Mm-hmm.
It's like as simple as that. Mm-hmm. And then that has sort of snowballed into this crazy fucking situation that we're in now. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, all this dismantling and everything else of workers' unions and all other kind of, like, actual, like, the opposite of bullshit jobs, as David Draper would have said.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we had, it was crazy hearing my grandma talk about working in a factory in Haddonham.
Yeah.
Just because Haddonham, to me, is this cozy, small little
middle
town.
Middle class.
Yeah, where there's just houses and a library and pubs. And
quaint little farms that sell artisan cheeses and things like that.
Yeah, it's not somewhere where you'd look for a job, because
there aren't any bloody jobs anymore.
But, like, that wasn't always the case.
Yeah.
Like, there were actual factories that made stuff and did also...
And produced,
like, not even silly things, but, like, tableware and, like, you know, like,
dude,
a crockery and whatever.
All,
like,
the sort of objets d'art and furniture in your grandma's house... And a lot of it was made in the UK.
Yeah.
A lot of it was like stuff that was actually manufactured. Shishi's card. She showed me some chest of drawers and some of the Shishi's had for like 50 fucking years.
Or
shit
even
that your dad, the same bed that your dad grew up in is in your dad's fucking room.
Yeah, like, that's true. Well, things were built differently. They were built in a way to sort of to last.
Yes.
You know, they weren't built as a, as this completely disposable thing.
Yeah.
They assumed that they were nice things that you would kind of want to have around forever. Even like the cooking utensils that my grandma has are like these stainless steel British made things that she won. Or her uncle won in a tombola at a town fete in like the 1940s or something. And oh they are God. Like perfect.
Perfect.
Still to this day.
That's how they so were fucking
it's just
built,
sort
isn't
of,
it?
And it's just, how well, it's also built. Like, the, it's also like the way my, you know, my grandma's maintained and like looked after same. Those things for like, you
my
know.
My grandma how, too, she has, a, my grandma, because she's like an Anglophile, has like Queen Elizabeth's picture on her fucking mantelpiece, and she's obsessed with British made clothes, British manufacturing. Burberry is her favorite brand. Like, she's fucking obsessed with this country. Back in the day, there was no measure when it came to manufacturing, to the things that we produce, the high quality things. Like, the things we produce were highly coveted all over the fucking world. We don't produce anything anymore. And all our fucking biggest export is Love Island and Harry Styles. And no wonder this country is having an identity crisis. It's nothing to do with, like, the empire being gone or the royal family's decline.
No,
it's to do with all of the other fucking things that have destroyed our fucking culture.
To destroy your connection,
connection to the fucking
the place
culture.
That you live and
we're fucking
everything.
We're like, who really interacts with... Everyone's watching American television and eating foreign foods and, like, what the fuck is British anymore about? Like, I've completely dissociated.
Well, we did spot a classic old-school pie and mash shop up the road this morning. So if you're,
eating, like,
if you're hankering for some proper British food, we can certainly go and get you
I bet
sorted.
They do sell eels there.
Oh, yeah, jellied eels will be on the menu.
No, thank you. That's, like, horrible. Why do we eat Shrek food in this country? It's disgusting.
Because that's all that working class people could cobble together.
Okay, but like in the like Victorian times.
And so that's become like
times,
our
maybe.
Staple foods, you know. It was
jellied
only
eels.
The more civilized European countries were the ones that had restaurant culture and more food
cafe
culture,
culture.
Like France and Italy and places like that and Spain. You know,
we like fish eels out of the Thames and fucking put them in pies. Gross. But no, I mean, yeah, all of those things are responsible for eroding British culture. The Queen dying has nothing to do with it. Also, like, libs and lefties are being annoying, going around being like, oh my God, she's dead. Yes, the Queen is dead. Ding dong, the witch is dead. It's like, they are going to put another person's bum on the throne, you know?
Yeah, I wish it was like
it's not a victory because she's dead.
I wish it was like she was the head vampire. Do you know what I mean? So, like, she's dead now. So then all of a sudden, just like the spell broke, and all of these people are like, oh my God, we still have a monarchy? Like, what? Why?
I think
like,
that,
what the fuck's
going
on?
Has a chance of happening only because this batch are so fucking boring and inept, and they're not as adept at PR as Elizabeth was. Like, Queen Elizabeth managed to manage her way through Diana's quote unquote death.
Wink, wink.
PR manage the decline of the British Empire. She's managed to do so many things PR-wise, whereas this batch are pretty boring. And I think that a lot of the pomp and majesty of the royal family is going to decline with this new breed. And I think that, yeah, people will probably start to second guess it because she was masterful at PR and as sort of putting herself up as this head of state. She knew how to channel that kind of archetypal power that's associated with a monarch. And I just don't see that with any of the rest of them. And like, especially now in this day and age of the internet and all of this shit, people would rather watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians. People would rather read about Elon Musk and his 100 baby mamas. Those are the new royals now. That's the new monarchy, which is the reason why Meghan and Harry jumped ship, because it is kind of a sinking ship and it is antiquated. Maybe we think it's antiquated for different reasons, but the sort of mass mind, as like retarded as the mass mind is, the only way that the mass mind is going to grasp the obsolescence of the monarchy is through it becoming less relevant than like fucking TikTok creators and Twitch streamers and celebrities, basically.
All I'm saying is there's a lot of, like, you know, money that we could just take back from the crown and start, you know, using it to sort out some of the problems we've got.
What do you mean, Jake? Don't you know that tourism generates blah, 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 or whatever the fuck it
is? Well, they're not
that
making
they
personal appointments with fucking Lizzie, were they? They were going to see Windsor Castle and Buckingham Palace and all the other places that are publicly accessible, that are like royal places and whatever the fuck. Like, and that money, even then, like, there's still a good chunk of that that gets swallowed up by the crown.
I wonder what the new coronation ceremony will be like.
It'll be the same as it always has been. It will be
but
a traditional
Queen,
thing.
Queen
it
Elizabeth
be...
was... No, they're not always traditional. Like, some of the earlier coronations, like in medieval times, were very small and quiet and intimate compared to Queen Elizabeth, which was the first that was ever televised.
True. This will be the first live streamed on the internet. Welcome to the 21st century.
Like, if you watch her coronation, it was like a fucking Masonic ritual. Like, it was this huge, like, lizard brain, primal, weird, like, archetypal thing. It was weird. And, like, there was also a lot of pomp because it was being televised and broadcast to everyone. Like, my grandma watched the coronation. My grandma still has it. I think she got it taped or something. Like, my grandma... I don't think my mom was alive at the time, but yeah, my grandma watched the coronation and still talks about it to this day.
I mean, I don't even know why they're making him king, to be honest. Charles, he's 73.
Is he 73?
Yeah.
He wants his turn. He's been waiting 73 years for his mother to die so that he could inherit his birthright.
I reckon there could be, at least this would make a great spy novel, is that there's someone that's got a recording of Prince Charles...
saying something really racist.
No, giving the order
to oh, get rid of Diana.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it was... I think that was above his pay grade. I think if anyone did that, it was the Queen herself.
Or even... I think even that would be enough, maybe, to just be like, oh, let's call it quits.
Nah, I don't think there's anything they could do to get...
Even if it was just as clear as day and you heard,
dude,
like, either Prince Charles or the Queen's
Andrew
like,
yes, no, just, went.
Just... It's too much. This is our Arab fella, all of this. No, she's got to go. Get rid of her.
I think that Andrew went on the BBC and, like, basically said, after being photographed with a minor... that he couldn't sweat. Like, that could have been the nail in the coffin. But all they did was cancel his birthday party.
Well, he's not a
and, like,
member
of
the
royal
like,
family.
Yeah, he's
whatever.
Not like a proper royal anymore, is he? He's,
no.
like, not allowed to be part of their events and stuff. Because he's a naughty boy.
I bet he still has access to that duchy, though, and is getting, like, money and shit like that. Like... It just is what it is at the end of the day. What I'm not looking forward to is everything being shut down and, like, the mandatory 10 days of mourning bullshit.
I wonder if he's ever been back
to
that.
Cocktail bar.
I wonder if he's ever been back to that Pizza Express in Slough. Wherever the fuck it was.
Oh, my God. Okay, let's move on from this fucking royal shit. What else is on the docket? Yeah, there was that... Speaking of mommy issues... there was that article that was released a couple of weeks ago about the maternal bond being a myth. And I read it, and it was really disturbing. It was
that
like,
sounds like very modern feminist thing to say.
It was like a bunch of anachronisms like, oh, the maternal imagery is based on Christian iconography of the Madonna and child. And it's like, maternal imagery is far older than that. Isis and Osiris. There's lots of different African motifs. You know, Oshun and the Ibeji twins. That's one. There's all like motherhood has been seen as like the primordial origin of like human connection since our inception. It's like the most important bond, the most important and vital psychological bond. And that's not to say that like, if somebody is without a mother, they can't survive. Like having some kind of primary caregiver, that fills the maternal role is important, and a lot can be made up for in the absence of the mother by other people. However, the maternal bond, if severed and not sort of replaced with anything, that's like psychologically devastating. It's really difficult to go through life if that's the case. It's like really disturbing to see people saying that the maternal bond isn't natural when it's like the most natural thing. And I don't mean natural in the sense that like when women have babies, they're automatically flooded with these feelings of love. I mean, I feel like this is the reason why stuff like postnatal depression is like skyrocketing. And they medicalize it too much and sort of give women medication and shit like that. But usually the cause of it is the fact that like there's that myth, number one. And number two, it takes time to adjust to motherhood because you've been living one life that's mainly for you, and now you have this tiny little vulnerable being that depends on you for absolutely everything, and your life is now no longer your own. And that's a huge psychological shift to go through. And like in other cultures, in African culture, when a woman gives birth to a child, for the first 3 months, aunties and mummies and grandmummies do everything, like, and they allow the woman to sort of slowly adjust to motherhood in that sense, and to slowly kind of enter the social role. Whereas here, you have women that don't even have fucking maternity leave, who are going straight back to work from the birthing bed. There isn't that adjustment period. There's a ton of cultural myths surrounding it. And I think a lot of women also have a problem with the social role, because we live in this atomized consumer society where anything that's like an impediment to neoliberal individualism is seen as like a natural evil.
Your and individual freedom equals like the greatest good.
Yeah.
So anything that's like a slight hindrance to that is considered, you know, something potentially toxic or whatever in your life.
Yeah, and this doesn't just stop at motherhood. It also it's the same thing with the whole hate all men bullshit that you see. Sever your social bonds with men, or cut off your conservative family members.
That's cringe.
Anything that's an impediment to your individual freedom should be completely dismantled and hated, including like the most fundamental familial bonds. And like, it makes me worry for children who are going to be born to millennial women and Gen Z women. The maternal bond isn't just like this natural fuck. It is natural in the sense that yes, you do have feelings, and some women don't, and they go through postnatal depression, but like any other bond, it's something that's built over time, and it's something that naturally grows as you do your job as a parent.
Exactly.
Like, you are what you do. This whole myth that everything is about feelings and you are the social role that you inhabit, for fuck's sake. And those social roles are vital to social bonds. And social bonds require tremendous personal sacrifice. Part of the reason why we're so fucking atomized right now is because nobody wants to do the personal sacrifice it takes to maintain social bonds.
I blame the media. Because there's all the movies and everything, whenever it's about motherhood, it's always about how hard and like how painful motherhood is. Like,
and it is.
And yeah, sure, for sure it is. But it's also like, you got to show why they would
choose to be a parent.
Yeah, choose to do all of that as well. It's because of the love they have for that kid.
Yeah.
And all of the stuff that they would go through for the love that they have for that kid. But that side of that sort of, you know, part of the story is never really emphasized enough. It's always about the fear and the pain. It's never about the love.
Yeah.
It's never about, like, the connection that... probably is about the connection they have with the kid, but not in this, like, positive, like, overly positive way. It's, like, always about the darkness.
The reason why I love the movie The Babadook so much, which I guess is kind of, like, a counterexample, because it's about a mother who is grieving, and because of her inability to cope with her grief healthily, she's completely disconnected from her son. And, like, whenever I talk to my millennial friends about that movie, they're like, oh, the kid in that movie is so annoying. I'd fucking want to kill him, too. I'm like, are you kidding? That kid is brilliant. He's so smart. He builds all these little contraptions. And he, despite being a child, helps his mother through the awful ordeal that she's going through. But he's communicating in the way a distressed child would. because he wants his mother's love. Like, he's clingy and annoying because he needs his primary fucking attachment figure to recognize him and to love him and to turn away from her grief so that she can be a mother to him. And that's what that movie is about. It's her dealing with her internal shit so that she can focus on being a good mother to her son. Every time I watch the end of that movie, I fucking cry when they're together and it's just the two of them and it's the birthday party. And yeah, like the maternal, like even in like film and cinema, there's some depictions you see of motherhood, but they always sort of fly under the radar, because what the only sort of phase of womanhood that's celebrated is like the maiden phase, meaning the young hot woman. The mother and the crone are totally sort of pushed into the background. And like, there was a TikTok that was floating around the other day of this woman who was crying, and she was like, you know how people like emotionally overshare on Twitter? And she was like, oh, I'm a mom and I've just had two kids and I haven't felt beautiful in a long time. And I just put on lipstick today for the first time and it felt weird and blah, blah, blah. And like, okay, part of me empathizes with that because there's a part of every woman that like wants to feel beautiful. And as a mom, sometimes it's difficult to take care of yourself when you're taking care of other people. So I'm not against women wanting to take care of themselves. But you also have to surrender to the fact that that stage of your life is over. You're not in your 20s anymore.
Mm.
You're not going to be getting that kind of attention anymore. That shouldn't even be your primary focus anymore. You are a mother. You are in a new phase of your life. And that doesn't mean that you have to be matronly and like boring or whatever, but you have to prioritize other things and understand that beauty isn't all that defines you anymore. But we live in a culture where women are told that youth and beauty is all that fucking defines you. So when they do become mothers...
Well, they're valuable for.
Yeah. When they do become mothers, it's almost an impediment. And you see it so much these days of like mothers, even grandmothers who won't babysit their grandkids because they're too busy going to get plastic surgery or going out cocktailing. People are sort of foregoing their social roles in order to sort of hold on to this ideal of youth and this ideal of like eternal youth. And it's really toxic. And I feel like that's where a lot of this like antinatalist sentiment is coming from. Like, you know, is people's inability to reckon with the role and the self-sacrificial role of motherhood. And it's so vital for the foundations of society and the foundations of like our psychic development. Like, there's nothing worse in this world than having a bad mom or having no mom at all. It's really tough to get through that psychologically. And I know that there are people who are listening who probably have gone through that, and they know, they fucking know the work that you have to do in order to stay healthy if that's been the psychological makeup of your life.
Didn't that actress from iCarly, Jeanette McCurdy, write some book recently? Like, I'm glad my mum's dead or yeah, something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, she did. She did. And I haven't read, like, all of it. I've only read some excerpts that have been, like, in articles that have been written about it. So I can't really comment too much on it. But the gist of it was that she was sort of pushed into the entertainment industry by her mom and sort of groomed to be so... sort of have such low self-esteem that she would allow anything to really happen to her.
Mm.
Her mom, I think, was like a failed actress or something and sort of saw her as a second chance and like imbued her with like eating disorders and told her to always be agreeable and even, I think, sexually violated her as well. Like, she wrote this thing about how her mom would give her vaginal and breast exams. And she sort of saw it as her mom's way of getting her used to being violated, since that's, like, normal in Hollywood. And, yeah, she...
That's so dark.
Yeah, man. It is really, really dark. It does show the sort of situation when you have mothers who forego their social role for, like, narcissistic reasons. And I remember when Grimes first said that she didn't identify as a mother and she doesn't like it when her kids call her mommy.
That is really cringe.
Yeah, I said that, and then people were like, oh, you just don't get it, Angie. You're just not cool. You're old-fashioned. The reason I was so offended by that is because that's your fucking social role.
Who's raising those kids If you
a robot, an AI,
as long as a
Tesla robot,
as long as a Roomba is taking care of it, and like Grimes isn't
Alexa.
The one that has to, like, yeah, Alexa and Roomba between them are like sorting out all the basic needs for the baby, and Grimes actually isn't involved because she doesn't identify as a mother. Then it's like, sure, do your little rich person thing or whatever the fuck is going on there. That's how rich people raise their babies anyway. But if you are actually going to be involved with that kid's life and you still have this weird stance of like, I'm just your friend.
I'm like, just your birthing machine, your birther.
You might have come from
me,
but
person.
We're just buds and we're going to hang out. But you're going to play the video games
off,
I want to play.
No.
Like, you know, whatever the fuck. I don't know. Like, I can't see how that would be a positive relationship,
like,
you could have.
I didn't grow up in the ideal circumstance. I wasn't even born in the...
I don't think anyone really does.
Yeah, I wasn't born in the ideal circumstance either. Like, I didn't have a dad. And, like, you know, of course I have a dad. Like, I wouldn't be here if I didn't have a dad, but he wasn't in my life.
You're a divine, divine being.
I literally, like, incarnated on my own. But, yeah, I had my mom, and even though she wasn't the world's most perfect mom and we have plenty of disagreements constantly, that woman loved me.
Exactly.
And it's the reason that I'm, like, somewhat psychologically stable today is despite all of the other bullshit that happened as I was growing up, like, I always knew I had my mom, and she was there, and she loved me. I knew she loved me. And, you know, that's so foundational for everyone to have, like, even if not a mom, a parent who loves them.
Definitely.
Somebody who is in a parental role who loves them. And what better than the person who actually brought you into the fucking world?
Not someone that doesn't identify with that role.
Like, I'm sorry, but that...
It's
too cool
for school to be a mum.
Yeah. And it's not... The motherhood isn't just not compatible with modern values, which is the truth. Which is why so many women now struggle with motherhood.
But then
and
if, like, you think you're too cool for school to identify with being a mum, then don't be a mum.
Yeah. Don't do it.
There's nothing wrong
loads
with...
Loads of people are not cut out for it. That's just the truth. There are loads of people who they shouldn't make that decision with their life because they're not cut out for it. And their values don't align with that social role. And if that's you, then just be honest about that with yourself and don't fucking do it.
I reckon Elon Musk is setting up trusts for all these women. Or something. Do you know what I mean? There's got to be some sort of crazy arrangement where like, you're going to receive a dividend from this trust.
Oh, God.
And that's going to basically be your life.
Oh, God.
But you do have to have this baby for me.
Oh, my gosh.
And if there's another one.
And be a birthing person.
And yeah, and if there's another baby, then the trust gets bigger.
For my R2-D2 child. It's just fucking dark and grim, dude. Like,
it must be some crazy, weird
arrangement
like that.
Yeah,
do you know
probably.
What I mean? Like, there's no way that you would... And I don't know, it must be Zodiac shit. It's way beyond my pay grade. Because why would you then choose someone like a Grimes or even speculatively Amber Heard to, like, raise babies for you?
He just likes, BPD hoes of a certain variety. That's, like, his thing, probably.
Wouldn't you find, like George Clooney, like, he found that, like, really hot, like, lawyer wife, right?
So, like, She-Hulk?
No, she wasn't She-Hulk. She's like a human rights lawyer, and, like, you know, she's quite attractive as well. So it's just like, bang, you found it, George Clooney. Of course she did. She's, like, Italian or something. Just like, of course she did, bro.
Oh, I don't know. You're saying he should have found, like, a sensible lady?
If I was Elon Musk, I'd be trying to find women like that.
Like a
sensible... Yeah, I wouldn't be trying to find...
Lady,
yeah,
a girl boss lady.
I wouldn't be trying to find, like, hipster fucking electro bitches that are too cool to be a mum. Like, you know? I wouldn't... That wouldn't be who I would be trying to raise my army of, like, you know, billionaire spawn.
Ubermensch with... I guess... I don't know. Elon's mom was also, like, an ex-model as well, so maybe, like... His anima is a BPD ho, which is why he goes for BPD hoes. I don't know. That's just my, like, armchair.
But he's apparently so intelligent. So you would think that he would make decisions like that, especially if he's making arrangements and doing all this kind of thing where it's kind of not that emotionally involved. Then surely you would be more logical and clinical about it and not
I don't
so
think there's a logical
led
or
with
clinical
your, like, oh, well,
I
must have, like,
he has the
woman
personality
like
of a fucking basement dweller.
Oh, well, this is what I want to do. I want to raise kids like this and have, like, you know, all these babies and stuff, but obviously they're going to need, like, good mums.
They're going to need birthing
so
people.
So then how did Grimes get on even on that list? It's like, that's my question.
Just, it's so terrible. But yeah, motherhood is incompatible with modern values, which is the reason why a lot of women struggle with it today. And by modern values, I don't mean that in some dumb, like, paleo-conservative way. I mean it in terms of, like, the sort of neoliberal ideology and the impact it's had on our culture and the way we view ourselves and the way we view life. We're atomized consumers, and you can't be that and be a parent. You can't live that way and think that way and have the responsibility for a life. So yeah, a lot of people, unfortunately, will have kids who have that mentality and screw them up really badly. And they think that parenting is about teaching your kids about fucking BLM and critical race theory and gender. They think that being a good parent is like, you're just doing what your parents did, which is not doing any of the emotional work of parenting, but trying to instill arbitrary values. But you're the same fucking thing as your parents.
But I think this is the inherent challenge with the 21st century way of life, right? Is that if you look at, like, my grandparents' life, mm-hmm. you know, there wasn't necessarily, like, aspirations to sort of, like, go somewhere crazy. And even they told us a story of how they nearly went to Australia.
Yeah.
But then chickened out at the last minute yeah. because they would thought that their kids would never meet their grandparents. Mm-hmm. And they didn't like that idea. Mm-hmm. So they stayed in England, basically. And that's why I'm English and not Australian. But, like, their whole life was pretty contained within the surrounding areas between where they needed to work and, like, make money to then provide for their family. And, like, that was what they did to get by. And it wasn't like there was any kind of lofty dream or anything like that. It was yeah. just that was life. It and was. That was content and that was enough. And that was your local area as well. And you knew everybody in your village and all of that kind of stuff. That had a totally different kind of culture, the way of life, only, you know, a generation ago.
Yeah.
So now, in a completely globalized world and the internet, where everybody's connected, everybody feels like there's always, like, a million options, and actually the ones that even that are right in front of them are maybe not even the best ones, so yeah. they're going to wait and for this extra
yeah.
golden ticket yeah. or something to come yeah. around, or for this thing that they've you know, seen on the internet to come to come through
yeah.
and, like, give their change their life in some way, which can happen. Like, it happens for sure. Mm-hmm. It happens in loads of different ways, but, you know, a lot of the time I feel like that paralyzes people.
Yeah, massively.
And how can you try and, you know, have that kind of close-knit relationship that is clearly so healthy for, like, human psyche and, like, sense of wellness mm-hmm. and community mm-hmm. and even then social cohesion on a larger scale?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you achieve that in, like, a globalized and globally connected world?
I mean, it's under this current order, it's virtually impossible because everything incentivizes the exact opposite of what you just said.
Do you think if the profit motive was taken away, that it would that alone would, like, totally radically shift the kind of culture that we have?
I mean, it depends on what replaced it.
Well, like,
I think we would have to conscientiously,
a betterment,
but that's what I'm saying, is we would have
to
conscientiously address the problems that are facing us right now, and also mitigate the psychological, cultural, interpersonal fallout of those trends.
It's going like, oh, well, you know, actually, the energy companies didn't even make a profit last year, so that's why they have to put the prices up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going, oh, they made £170 billion profit
mm-hmm.
in this country alone, and they still want to have whatever the fuck the price.
Yeah, I mean, France owns their energy companies, so...
So, like, yeah. Do you know, it's like not even a rocket science yeah. conversation to
and
have.
And that's not to say there aren't enclaves of social embeddedness. I mean, we are city dwellers, but even then, back in the days, there was still a coherent sense of community in cities as well. It's only now, I mean, cities are more atomized and always have been than, like, rural living, but there was enclaves of communities within cities, and now it's, like, completely atomized.
That's true.
like completely atomized.
Yeah.
And like people, if they don't have a social role, if they can't form social bonds, they're not going to be able to be of use to anyone but themselves.
Yeah.
And I guess some people are okay with that and okay with living that way, but I'm not.
But I do think if you saw the larger system around you make concerted effort to do good by everyone, you and the culture around you would change. And I don't think you necessarily have to completely take profit motive away for that, because, you know, markets exist and whatever. That's just human nature to some extent. But in the larger scale of things, like in situations like we're in now, 170 billion fucking pounds profit, you go, fuck, no. Like, this is an unprecedented time. We're, like, gonna, like, not do that. We're gonna keep everything low. We're even gonna, like, you know, not increase it at all, or whatever the fuck it would be, or reduce it.
No.
Like, if we're already making this much money, we can reduce it by such and such and such and save everybody this money.
And, like, not just that, the reason why stuff like that never happens is because the more atomized people are, the less likely they are to be altruistic. When the people you're referring to are just numbers and figures, when you don't know your neighbors, when everybody is just an abstraction, it's far easier to be cruel to them. Why do you think so much antisocial behavior is normalized on the internet? Because there's so many layers of abstraction between people. So you feel like you can say anything and do anything and be as horrible as you want to be, because that person is literally a non-entity. They don't matter. And in all likelihood, you'll probably never even see them again. And, like, we are going to see a sharp increase in antisocial behavior, because nobody has a stake in anything anymore.
But that the way even internet interface adds abstraction, and we have to do all of our most important things in life via the internet now.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, all of your life is abstracted through the digital realm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of, it is not healthy. And I think it's only going to get more leaned into as well, which is the sort of horrible thing. Which is why I do think there will be, like, some hobbit movement or something to sort of, like,
break away. I think there'll be many cults and hobbit movements that attempt to.
We saw so many adverts on TikTok, like, when we were moving.
I'm skeptical. Please don't join cult anyone.
Like, it's literally how voodoo the fucking TikTok algorithm is to show us that kind of advert. I think we must have talked about it on the last episode as well, but I would just say again, like, we saw some random video of literally these, like, British, like, artsy, hippie bohemian people setting up like a 12th century church to turn into some sort of art installation, and he's basically just saying, like, yeah, just come, we've got like garden full of greens, come and like leave your entire life and just come and do something different.
I mean,
and like so many people are like literally just like so close to being able to just be like, fuck it, bro.
Well, even then, like, the world is bad enough as it is. You're making it worse on yourself by seeking false purpose. And we talked about this last episode, how, like, loads of people are joining cults. People are becoming more politically unhinged as well. Like, all the weird little factions are becoming more and more unhinged. And, like, seeking false purpose is only going to make it worse. Like, if you're disillusioned with the current state of things, the best thing you can do is attempt to remain as clear-eyed and as vigilant and as discerning as possible. Because if you go and throw your life down a rabbit hole because of fear of ambiguity or uncertainty, then you're just going to be fucking chaff in the wind.
I don't think it's fear of ambiguity or uncertainty. I think it's like a want for something completely different.
But people do want things. People do want something completely different. That's true, but false purpose is there waiting to catch them.
Yeah, I guess.
At every angle. We're in the era of false purpose. And there's so many. People are looking for it in politics. People are looking for it in failed relationships. People are looking for it in fake friendships. People are looking for it in all kinds of things. You know, it's sad. It's fucking sad.
As Glenn Campbell once said, got to try a little kindness.
Yeah. I mean, we are losing a mommy in England, but we've gained a daddy in the king. And we've also gained a new mommy in Liz Truss, our new prime minister, who's another Tory gargoyle that no one voted for.
Less than half the Tory party voted for Liz Truss.
Yeah. And less than half of the population, sorry, more than half of the population thinks that she's not a fit leader either. So it's just like a thing that like no one asked for.
But there's also no viable opposition, really.
Nope.
You see some stirrings, you see some gatherings of people like, we're not going to fucking take this. This is getting fucking ridiculous. Yeah. Like, we see more of that now than I've ever seen in recent years, which does give me hope, but there's no political, official political avenue for them to be represented in any meaningful way.
Yeah, there are campaigns like the Don't Pay campaign, which I do hope picks up momentum, which it's a campaign that's basically been set up because of the high cost of energy bills, and they're trying to get petition signatures for people pledging not to pay. But I remember there was a clip of a woman on Sky News talking about it, and they cut her off. They literally just fucking cut her off or whatever. And who knows if enough people will get behind it for it to actually be viable.
It's a risky business, isn't it? And I think even like even where we are, we're not in a situation where you could even have that as an option.
Yeah.
Because you're on a prepaid meter.
Yeah.
So you need to, if you don't top it up,
then you've got no power.
There's no
you've got no fucking power.
Oh, you're not going to pay? Okay, well, you can have cold dinners.
Yeah.
Like, it's as simple as that.
Cold dinners, cold showers.
Yeah, it's as simple as that for a lot of people, I think.
And like, I mean, like you said, there's no like official political avenue for the momentum to go down as of yet. A lot of what is being said sounds like empty platitudes and copium. A lot of it is genuine and has potential as well. Like there's, like I said, labor unions that have been dead since the Thatcher era have like resurrected now. And like there's hope in certain areas, but you have to be so weary of false purpose. People are willing to rush to false purpose out of fear of ambiguity, like I said, and uncertainty, because it's easier to feel certain in false purpose than it is to deal with the ambiguity and the uncertainty of what's going on right now. I think it's really painful for a lot of people. But England is gonna, we're like heading in like Children of Men direction.
I'm not focusing on any of that. I've got a new flat to enjoy. I'm like, you know, getting back into the swing of things. Everything's coming up Millhouse for
Jake's end.
But for me, like, I'm not fucking focusing on the potential destruction of the world and the collapse of Britain.
It is like Children of Men, though. Britain's like all dystopian. People are renouncing the maternal instinct. Like, Children of Men is literally coming true. I even think it's so poignant that that film was like a metaphor that sort of hearkened onto maternal imagery, and that children were the major source of like the lack of children was like the major source of tension, and attempting to save a child to save the future. Like, where's that ethos gone? Where's that pro, and I don't mean pro-life in terms of abortion, but I mean pro-life as in pro-existence. Where the fuck is that like ethos gone? The death drive just seems to kind of be ruling everything right now. Like,
I've got a death drive for the monarchy. They can all drop dead tomorrow, as much as I give a fucking shit about the lot of them,
well,
if I'm totally honest.
We're going to be hearing about it for the next, like, year, dude. The next year
that's
of
the
British
most depressing
culture
thing.
Is going to be
but it's
the
only,
Queen's death and the coronation of the new king.
But it's only going to fuel my death drive for the monarchy more, the more they keep going fucking on about them.
I'm not that animated. I'm, like, apathetic. There's no point getting animated because there's fuck all you can do about it.
No, but you want the tide to change. Like, oh my God, I can't even imagine, like, how I would feel waking up tomorrow and just be like, oh, they've decided to cancel the monarchy. No more monarchy. Just be like, things are going to change. Like, I would feel like there would be it would be, like, the symbol of drastic change in outlook and destination and direction and meaning and purpose for the country.
Yeah, it would be a change,
I mean?
Of identity. It would be a facelift.
To be like, we are not going to do this anymore.
No.
We've realised that we need to make a lot of fucking changes.
No.
And actually, this is a perfect timing. So
no, the op-
we're just going to knock it on the head and call it a day
No, all of the money and all of this is taken.
You get a meager stipend like my grandma, like a pensioner, like anyone else would. And that's the kind of allowance you get as a royal. And we can live with that. Everything else is ours now.
Definitely
thank you.
Not.
Goodbye.
Because like I said, false purpose is what people choose to avoid uncertainty and ambiguity. And instead of dealing with the identity crisis that we currently have and attempting to forge a new identity for the 21st century, instead, Britain is holding on to these archaic vestiges of the past and saying that that's our identity, that's who we are. No, it fucking isn't.
It's very sad.
It's not. It's not fucking us. It's not who we are.
And
this
depressing.
Is the Britain of the Battle of Cable Street. This is the Britain of fucking NHS nurses and doctors. This is the Britain of trade unionists. This is the Britain of your grandparents. It's the Britain of my grandparents. It's the Britain of all of those who are in the workhouses, all of those who relied on social housing. It's our fucking Britain, not theirs. And it makes me sad to see just how many people have like forgotten that.
Exactly, and given it to them.
Yeah, giving it to them. Let them have it. Yeah, it's sad. William Blake's dark satanic mills have taken over. and yeah, it makes me sad. It does. But what can I do other than enjoy the street food in Camden?
Exactly.
And try and like do copium.
Enjoy the vibe.
Enjoy the vibe, man. Enjoy the ride. Well, it was lovely talking to you guys. And thank you for bearing with us for this very late episode. We just moved. So yeah, we've been like focusing on that. But things should get regular from this week on. So that's some good news. If you want to help support the podcast, you can do so by going to our Patreon. We have a book club. If you want to be a desert flower and learn how to survive the madness of the modern age, come and read Carl Jung's Red Book with us. And the previous recordings of Book Club can be found on our Patreon as well. We also have a Discord where you can talk to us, hang out with us. We have bonus episodes. And yeah, we would love you to join our cult. chat to you guys later. Goodbye.
Bye.